This is week 4 in our Like a Tree series. I'm going to get to that. But you know, so one of the babies that we just prayed for, I've been praying for that baby to show up for a while. And I don't know, I just feel to pray right now. I want to pray for families that want more children. Come on, join with me. Let's join our faith. God, I pray, God, right now, I ask that you would open wombs, oh God. I ask that you would grant us more children, oh God. God, that you would grow your kingdom, oh God, by giving us more children. Lord, if there are families that are waiting for you, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, would you bless them, Lord, with children. Right now, we call upon your name, oh God, and we know that you are the author of life, so give life in Jesus' name, oh God. And Lord, we will rejoice in, God, the new babies that come. And God, we will keep dedicating them to you because, Lord, they're gifts from you. So thank you for blessing more families. Lord, even for our online family, someone is waiting for a child in the name of Jesus. Grant it. And we love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. If I didn't pray that, I was going to be distracted the whole sermon. So, yes, we have been on a series. If you're a first-time visitor here, we have been doing a series titled Like a Tree from Psalm 1 in the Bible. It's almost like in the middle of the Bible. It's one of the first psalms. And this psalm reflects a beautiful picture of what God wants to do with every life. And so we want to encourage you to memorize this and to track along with us. It's so funny because we're doing a 10-week series. This is week 4, but we can do 20 weeks or 30 weeks. There's so much in just this one psalm, but we're going to read this together. We should have it memorized by now. I got a couple videos of little kids who've memorized Psalm 1. Catch up, people, right? But here we go. Ready? Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord for this amazing promise. And so the Bible says that God's child can, should become like a healthy, fruitful tree. And we've all kind of walked in the park at least one time in our life and looked at a tree and said, wow, that is amazing. And God wants to use us in a very similar way. He wants to make our life very fruitful for his glory. Now, we know that fruit comes originally from what's happening underground, and we've been talking about this. Every tree lives in two places at once. Every person lives in two places at once. You have your public life, you have your private life. Your private life, your life with God that no one sees. Your public life is your life with God that everyone sees. And we know that the journey of blessing begins below ground. Everybody say, blessing begins below ground. Yes, it does. If you really want to be blessed, I'm telling you right now, your blessing will come to you when you start a real type of relationship with God in private. Amen. It's reserved for you and Jesus. Imagine having the audience of Jesus. If you could have the audience of anyone in the whole universe, who should it be? It should be Jesus. And he's saying, I want to meet with you. Amen. You know, sometimes you're in class or you're in some place, say, if you could meet one person in all of history, like, if I could do that, I would have loved to have met Winston Churchill. Is one of my favorites, favorite leader. But how many know, meeting Jesus is way better than meeting Winston Churchill, right? And so that place is reserved for us, and so much flows out of that. And we are talking still, in this part of the series, we're still talking about our underground life. And we learned in the last couple of weeks that you attach in private and then you flow in public, just like a tree. Okay, so we're gonna keep focusing on that. In John chapter 15, the Bible says, 15:5, listen to this. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, if you stay attached, you will bear everyone much fruit. That's the promise, right? It says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And so it's very plain, very clear, but the invitation is powerful. Now, what I want to do today is I want to look at this example in real life. So this is a baby tree, right? And isn't this beautiful, right? This is a baby tree, and, you know, Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. So he is describing our connection to him just like this tree. So we attach to him in private, below ground. You can't see below ground, but we attach to Jesus, and this trunk starts to come up, and then branches start to spread out. And what we did is, just so that you could get real clarity, is we took some close-up pictures of this actual tree, and I want to point out a couple things to you. First of all, this is like the baby trunk of this tree, okay? And I want you to notice that as this baby trunk is coming up out of the ground, I want you to notice that already the bark is developing, okay? Now, bark, we'll get to this, but bark is part of the protective coating of the church. It's like the armor put on, the full armor of God. It's like the armor of the tree. But you see that this is the beginning of the maturing of the tree from whatever is happening below ground. Now, when you go up top, even though it's connected, notice that the kind of the arm, the little branches are red. Okay? So these branches, they're beautiful, but they're red. And they're red because they're not that mature. Okay? Now, if the Lord says that you and I, for the rest of our lives, are supposed to be like a tree, part of the message here is that as long as you live, there should always be part of you that is growing. Come on, how many want new growth in your life? New growth, new growth, new growth. So 20 years in the Lord, new growth. 30 years in the Lord, new growth. 40 years, 50 years, new growth. Whatever they do prospers. When you are attached to Jesus, how many know there's fresh life flowing from him to you? No matter how old you are, we can keep on growing. Anybody here want to keep on growing? You want to keep on bearing fruit? So he says, remain in me. He says, attach to me. Okay, it's a beautiful invitation. So this is so beautiful. This is so wonderful. It's so powerful. Now, he says something else. What if this hurts to do? What if this happens, right? The moment that there's a clip, right? Now life is no longer flowing. This begins to die. So when the Bible says, apart from me, you can do nothing, is because the source of life is now gone. You see? So here's the big question. Even though you have this grand invitation, are you like this or are you like this? Today, are you attached to the Lord? Right? Because just because you come to church doesn't mean you're attached to the Lord. You see? Real Christianity is based on a private love relationship with God. You see? But when you're really attached to the Lord, I'm telling you right now, nothing can stop your growth. Nothing can hinder your blessing. Hallelujah. It's powerful. The prophetic prediction of God Almighty is that you will be fruitful. But he says, remain in me and I in you. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So like, where are you today? You see, every day we can live just like a tree. Every day we can live attached to the Lord. We are invited to attach to the Lord. Now, why? Okay, let's keep following this. Why? It's because when this is attached to the vine, so to speak, this is not this is the vine is a grape tree, but it's not. But you get it. When this is attached, what's happening is there's a life flow. The life keeps on flowing. Now, in the Bible, one of the ways that we call that life grace. You see, it's grace. Have you ever heard someone say, before the grace of God go I? There before the grace of God go I. You ever heard that saying before? Let me tell you where it came from. Okay, and if you're a Christian, you should have this same perspective and understanding. So sometimes somebody is doing something so crazy, so wild, so weird. And when you see someone who's doing something so crazy, so wild, so weird, don't be one of those people who go, ew. You believe those people? I can't believe those people. I can't believe that person. See, a Christian says, except for the grace of God, I would be like that and worse. Okay? I would be like that and worse. Because if I'm separated without the help of God, without the grace of God, you know what? I'll do things that are 10 times worse than that. Martin Luther said this once, and it's so funny because people don't like this, but it's true. He said, you know what man is, right? Without Christ, man is half beast and half devil. Now, some people, they can't swallow that. But the part of the reason why you can't swallow that is because you don't understand yourself. You see? But when you understand that without him, you can do nothing. But with him, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, it's interesting. It's interesting, brothers and sisters. And I really feel it in this service. But it's interesting because, like, when you share the word, right, there is teaching that people like and teaching that people don't like. Human beings don't like to be told that they have issues. But ladies and gentlemen, you and I have a lot of issues, okay? Whether you like it or not, we have issues. And you know what we need? We need grace. We need the help of God flowing to us to transform us. Your walk with God will start to change when you start to recognize how important it is to live by grace. Grace is God doing for you what you could never do for yourself. In other words, the way God helps us is by our attachment to Him. And when we are attached to Him, His grace flows. His grace makes us stand. His grace makes us fruitful. His grace makes us godly. His grace makes us more holy. His grace, all the things that we want to be, all the things that we want to do, it's all by His grace. And we can't do without the help of the Holy Spirit. Now, one of the great titles of the Holy Spirit, one of the descriptors of the Holy Spirit, is the helper. He's the helper. And so the title of the message today is Your Help. How many want the help of the helper? Could I see your hands? Come on, hallelujah. And look, if this is kind of disconcerting to you, don't worry, but listen, take this in, okay? Take this in because this is breakthrough kind of stuff. When you start to understand that there's a helper who wants to help you, and when we tap into the helper helping us, I'm telling you, your life will dramatically change. Because all things are possible through Christ Jesus. Could somebody say amen? Amen. So I want to pray. And by the way, even on this Tuesday, I'm going to be talking about how God wants to send us out. Because like a tree tells us, we're privately healthy. But then we're meant to be what? Publicly fruitful. So with the help of the Holy Spirit, right, God sends you out on a mission. And I want to be talking about what is it like to be sent out by God. And we're going to be praying over that. Come out. Make time to come out to the prayer meeting so we could seek the Lord together. Amen. But this is the foundation of all of that. And so help us, Lord. I'm going to pray right now. Help us, Lord, to receive the help of the helper. I pray that you would unblock. I pray that you would tear down mental blocks, oh God. Ideas that make us think that we're weak, Lord, to just lean on you. Help us to stay attached. Teach us to attach so that the helper can flow through us. I pray for grace. I pray for the help of the Holy Spirit. I pray, God, that through our attachment to you, that our lives will be transformed today, tomorrow, and until we see you face to face. Bless this word. Bless our time. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen, amen. So what flows, spiritually speaking, what flows from the vine to the branches is actually grace. Okay, it's the flow of grace. That's what we're learning about today. And the flow of grace starts with faith. The flow of grace starts with faith. You see, real faith believes that the helper wants to help you. Real faith doesn't just depend on God to save you. Some people say, oh, I put my faith in Jesus and I became a Christian, but now after that, I'm on my own. Real faith understands that we need Christ for salvation and we need Christ for every single moment, every single day of our lives. We need the help of the helper. Somebody say amen. We need him when we wake up. We need him when we go to work. We need him when we go to the gas station. We need the help of the helper all the time, all day long. But it takes faith. So a lot of people, they might come to church, they might listen to sermons, and all of that is great. But real faith seeks God and says, like in the morning, real faith says, Lord, I want to attach to you and I want to worship you and I want your word, because I know that if I attach to you, Lord God, you're going to help me, God. You're going to help me with that meeting. You're going to help me with that test. You're going to help me with what I'm facing. You're going to help me in my marriage because you're the helper. The Holy Spirit is the helper, but faith says, I believe that you're going to help me. How do you know if you really believe that that he's going to help you? Guess what? You seek him and you attach to him. Amen. So this day, you woke up today, did you attach to the Lord today? See, here's the thing, right? My shoelace, cosa más grande de la vida. Tied this shoelace 4 times already today. Hallelujah. So listen, when we're born, we are independent. Like, you are you. And, you know, we are all independent beings. God made us that way. But see, because you're independent, you can actually be as dependent as you want. You see? So he made us independent, but he made us independent so that we could choose to be dependent. Amen. I choose. Like, you see those parents here? That was an act of dependence. Right? They didn't say, well, because I read the books of psychology and because of this and because of that, my kids are going to be great. They're like, no, 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 Jesus. Jesus, have your way with my kids. You see, we get to be as dependent as we want. And we're teaching, like, and we're highlighting the importance of all of the different efforts of attaching to God in private, because it your steps of faith towards God, and when you open the Bible, when you pray, you attach to God, and then the guaranteed promise is he will help you. Amen. This morning, when I woke up this morning, I read this. I read in a couple different places, but I read Psalm 119. I've been doing a devo through Psalm 119. I've mentioned this several times. Today was Psalm 119, verse 127. It says, because I love your commands more than gold, more than pure gold. Because I love your commands. I'm not even going to say what's before the because, but it doesn't matter. The verse was, because I love your commands more than gold, more than pure gold. That was this morning. And I was like, Lord, I love you. And I want to love you, God. I love you more than gold. I said, Lord, I love you more than anything or anyone on this planet. You know how much I love my wife, God, but I love you more. And God, I ask that you would help me to love you more. God, so many people, God, they fall in love with gold, but Lord, I love you more than gold. That was my devo this morning. I love you more than gold. And God, whatever little gold I have, if you want it, God, help me, God, to give it to you, because you're more important, you're better than all the gold in this world, oh God. I want to be attached to you. But listen, but I have to pray, God, but help me, Lord, because if you don't help me, I could fall in love with gold. Without your help, God, there's no telling what I do. I don't trust in myself. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. Amen. Didn't we just sing that? And so the point is that, like, you and I are supposed to have these continual moments when we are deliberately reaching and attaching to Jesus. That is real faith. I'm glad that you listen to sermons. I'm glad that you listen to podcasts. But you know what? Faith reaches to Jesus all on his own, just you and Jesus. Somebody say amen. Listen to this. Listen to how some of these great men of God put this. It says, we are like branches, weak in ourselves, but held up by Christ. Right? John Calvin said, we are barren and dry. Okay? This is already starting to dry up. How long can this go before it dries up? How long can you go before you dry up? You see? It says, we are barren and dry unless we are grafted into Christ and draw new power from him. How many know just because he gave you power yesterday doesn't mean there's not fresh power today? How many believe there's fresh power flowing from the Holy Spirit to our lives? Power that gives us everything that we need so that we could walk in victory, in blessing, in freedom. You see, but faith says, I believe that you want to help me. Somebody say, I believe.
I believe.
The Holy Spirit wants to help you. So here's my encouragement to you. Act like it. Okay, open your Bible. Go home, have a prayer meeting. You know, go home and have a prayer meeting by yourself. Okay, go home and worship God. And watch what starts to happen in your life. It is amazing. You see? And okay. So it starts by faith. Now, when we start to exercise our faith, what starts to happen is the flow of grace starts to teach us. You see? The helper is also a teacher. It's interesting, John 14 and in between John 13 and John 18, it talks a lot about the Holy Spirit. One place it tells us that he's the helper. Another place says he's a comforter. Another place says he's a teacher. He'll lead you into all truth, you see? And so grace actually teaches us, and this is essential to understanding Psalm 1, because watch this. Look at what Psalm 1 says. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the everyone counsel. See, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel. A counselor is any voice you repeatedly allow to shape your life. Who is counseling you? Now watch what the Bible says. Right? This is in Titus chapter 2. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say, everyone, no to ungodliness. Grace teaches us to say no, right? And worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. So grace is like a teacher. A better way to say it, I think, to explain it, is grace wants to be like your coach. You see, I learned this from sports, right? You know, if you have a good coach, the coaching doesn't work unless you listen to the coach. You gotta listen to the coach. And we've all, if you ever play sports, every team has one knucklehead. One cabeciduro, as they say in Spanish. That, you know what? The coach is saying, do this, and the guy won't do it. Or the girl won't do it, right? Can I encourage you? Don't be that guy. Grace coaches us, and we don't recognize grace speaks to us. Throughout the day, the Holy Spirit is speaking to us, coaching us, and if we will just listen to what the coach is saying, we're going to start to experience great breakthrough in our lives. All of the great miracles and great breakthroughs of our lives are on the heels of saying and obeying, saying yes to the coach. So the coach wants to guide us and direct us. And because then you have to be open to the new perspectives and new practices that God has for you. So let me put it this way, right? So some people, years go by. They keep coming to the church, right? Years go by. And God is trying to coach them. What's he trying to do? He's trying to coach their heart into a place of health. And he says, read my word. You know, if they could send me a keyboard player, read my word. And we say, well, I don't really understand the Bible. You know, when I read the word, I don't get the Bible. So you read it three times, you're supposed to get it, right? I don't like some of the stuff the Bible says. I don't know that I agree with it, okay? And what you don't understand is you don't agree with it. It's because the Bible has to knock stuff off of your flesh. The Bible says my word is like a hammer that breaks the rock. It's like fire that burns the chaff. Some of us, the greatest thing that could ever happen is God takes his word and starts to knock all kinds of junk off of our life. How many would love for God to just knock it off, Lord? He's trying to help you. He's trying to help me. The coach coaches us. Grace. See, part of what the purpose of this is so that you start to recognize when the Holy Spirit is trying to coach you. You know, I was talking to a friend the other day, and he said, you know, I got this thought. And he said, and it was a good thought. It was a biblical, godly thought. And he said, you know, one thing I know for sure. He said, the devil didn't give me that thought. That thought came from God. You see? And when the thoughts come from God, you have to listen to the coach. You know? Sometimes God is trying to coach someone in their marriage. And the Holy Spirit is saying to you, be quiet. You don't have to have the last word. Stop. Come on, you know. You know what I'm talking about right now. Do you always have to have the last word? Yeah, somebody said, help us, Lord. No. Last service. Someone from the back shouted, toma. That means take that, you know. No. How many believe God can coach you in your marriage? Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. God might say, you're worried about this. This happened this week. I was reading, started to pray, and when I started to pray, I started to worship God, but then I started to give God my list, which is good, but I just felt distinctly like, no, don't ask right now, worship. And you know what I said to the Lord? I said, Lord, I don't want to worry out loud to you. I know you can handle that. I just praise you. So look, maybe some people, they come to church, and it's like, how long are you going to go without really worshiping God? He's trying to, like, worship will help you. Because if you want an audience with the king, you should treat him like the King of Kings. Come on, somebody say amen. Hallelujah. So the same person who would, let's say you're a dad, you would get totally bent out of shape if one of your kids doesn't treat you with respect, and then we come and we refuse to worship God. Like, how should he be treated? Right? The president, the senator, whoever they come in. Groupies. But the King of Kings. Hallelujah. Now, you take the most crooked, broken stick of a man, right? who from his crookedness, from his brokenness, right? From the ends of the earth, from his total darkness, you take that broken stick of a man, let's call him. And he starts to lift his hands and say, I ain't got nothing, but Lord, I worship you. I got you, God. Hallelujah. You can help me. How many know God can straighten out that stick? How many know God can heal that brokenness? Hallelujah. He can transform us. Glory to your name, oh God. But you got to be coached. You got to be coached. You know, it could be your finances. God tells you, give. And like, I ain't giving, I'm not giving. It's like, okay. Right? The coach is coaching you. It's like, don't date someone who is not a Christian. Oh, now we're really messing with stuff, right? But he's so nice. But he can't lead you. Right? She can't encourage you. There's a way that seems right unto a man, but in the end it leads to destruction. But the way of the Spirit, how many know the way of the Spirit is blessing, victory, hallelujah, glory, power, freedom, hallelujah. But you got to be coached. Listen, real quick, I'll end with this. I got one more little thing to say, but I got two more little things to say. So I was talking to Pastor Josh about this, right? Pastor Josh is my son-in-law. He's married to my oldest daughter and Susie. And you have to know, like, Susie's in her mid-30s. I don't know, can't keep up with the ages. But I don't know that I've ever seen Susie lose her temper. Ever. Like, I don't know that I've ever seen her really mad. Like, Susie being furious is like this. Like, that's furious? I mean, really? So he tells me when COVID hit that Josh got really sick. I mean, scary. He was in the hospital for 7 days. And we were actually on our sabbatical. And we were like, we gotta cancel our sabbatical. We were like waiting. If this thing doesn't turn, we gotta get on a plane and go home. So thankfully, he got better, he improved, he got up. But when he got, you know, when he got home, right after he got out of the hospital, they told him, look, we want to encourage you to get these kind of, IVs, because you are so depleted that you need to do this for just 2 or 3 weeks or whatever it is, but you got to get these IVs because you're super depleted. And like, you just, I'm telling you, this is going to take you a while to recover. And my son-in-law Josh is super bright and like super detail oriented, like over the top. And his brain was having so many hiccups, you know? And Susie was like, hey, Josh, we got a schedule for you to get them, whatever that is, that, you know, IV thingy. And Josh was like, I don't want to do that. I've been poked enough. She's like, Josh, you know, you really need to get that thing. So finally, he tells me that one morning he comes downstairs and she says, listen, I ordered the thing. They're coming in 5 minutes and you're going to get an IV pack. And we're like, okay. Right? So he gets the IV. Right? He says like 2 hours later, he says, man, I felt so much better. Right? How many know when you listen to the coach, and sometimes the coach has to get a little strong with you. Maybe the Holy Spirit, maybe even in this moment, I'm saying things, you feel like the coach is getting a little strong with you. Right? But it's because he loves you. It's because he wants what's best for you. He wants you healthy. He wants you strong. He wants you fruitful. He wants you vibrant. Hallelujah. You will know the truth and the truth will set you free. You will not get better just by hearing what you want. Last thing I'll say about this, okay, then we'll close. But it's interesting because, listen to this. I got this in my notes. I want to say it this way. So, this is recent. Fortune 500, I think Fortune magazine reported that a 23-year-old, he was some kind of analyst, he became a TikTok career influencer. He's 23. In 4 months, he gained 14,000 followers, mostly students and early career professionals. So he told Fortune that he received hundreds of questions and comments daily about his job and so on and so forth. Now, he was 23 years old, and in his particular case, it meant that he had only been in that job for 1 year max. So he's been working for 1 year, and he's the expert on how to get a job and how to live out your career. Listen to this. Pew Research found that about 1 in 3 teens are getting mental health information from social media. That means that a teenager may be learning how to interpret anxiety, depression, identity, trauma, and relationships from a 45-second video before they ever talk to a parent, pastor, counselor, or mature believer. Who is giving you counsel? You see, the Bible says in the last days there will be itching ears. Okay? In the last days, preachers are going to preach things that people want to hear. I was praying about this week, right? So if everything is, oh, make the people feel better, make them encouraged, make them feel warm and fuzzy and say, wasn't that a great message and all that stuff, right? I like that, you know? The Bible predicted this. Please pay attention to this moment. How coachable are you? Right? If it's the truth, do you love the truth? Or if the truth kind of says, I want to shift some stuff around in your heart and in your life. If the truth pokes you, if the truth says you can be a different kind of husband or a different kind of wife or a different kind of man or a different kind of woman, how do you respond to the truth? Brothers and sisters, I plead with you. Let the truth make you free. Let the truth have its way. Let it work in power. Hallelujah. Because when you let the truth work, when you let the coach help you, then it teaches us to say no to ungodliness, worldly passions here. Well, you don't understand how powerful, you know, addiction to weed is. I don't, but the Holy Spirit can break that. He can teach you to say no to weed by His mighty power. Where does the Bible say that you can get free from alcohol or from crack? Right there in Titus chapter 2. The grace of God will coach you and teach you and release strength into you so that you can say no to ungodliness. When the Son sets free, it's free indeed. But you get free from flow. The flow of grace into your life. If you let the flow of grace into your life, if you take the time, I'm telling you right now, He can break anything. He can fix anything. Amen. He can deliver us from anything. There is no devil. There is no demonic invention or demonic device that has been created since before the foundations of the earth that can somehow stop the progressive force, strength, glory, truth of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He will conquer all and defeat all, every obstacle that comes towards Him. You gotta let Him coach you. You might quit on yourself, but don't quit on God. The grace of God will teach us to say no to ungodliness and be different. And this is just the last thing. We're not going to focus on this. But just imagine for a minute, right? What happens to your life if you really start to experience the flow of grace? Have you ever heard someone speak, heard someone sing, right? And you're like, God's hand was on that person. You're like, you know, it was like 20 years ago when we were here, we went to the Billy Graham Museum in Wheaton someplace. And I'll never forget this. So I went through it and I was blown away. Billy Graham is like a famous, famous evangelist, right, in America. And so right at the end, they had a video. So this was 20 years ago, but they had a video of him preaching, and that video might have been at least 20 years old. The way, the look of it, you know, might have been at least 20 years old, and maybe more. But anyway, in that two-minute clip, Billy Graham is preaching, and like the anointing, I was so arrested by watching something that was 20 years old. Right? What do you call that? Right? What filled that room? It was the grace of God on a human being. When he said, you will bear fruit and fruit that will last. Right? How many know that even after we're gone, God could put something on our life that can impact people for all of eternity? How many want that kind of life? Hallelujah. So this isn't just for you. This is for how God wants to use you. The flow of grace empowers us. God wants to empower us. You know, it's something I've observed. I'll be done in a second, but I remember being a baby Christian. And there was a group of us who used to hang out. And then one of the group, there was a young lady who was actually my friend's girlfriend at the time. And they asked her to make an announcement or something. And so she runs up, she takes the mic, and when she starts to talk, I'm telling you, I didn't even know who that girl was. I was like, who is that? You know? I've had lunch with her, we've talked, we've hung out, you know? I don't even know who that is. The grace of God upon her. You see? How many know God can take a little nobody like you and me, and he can put his spirit upon us, his grace upon us, and we can be used in powerful ways for the glory of God. Use us, Lord. Use us, Lord. Use us by your mighty power. The most quiet, the most unknown, when grace is on us, there's no telling what God can do. Amen. You see, there's no special people. It's just the special grace of God upon us. Amen.